The Man Who Came In From the Cold. Reflections on Christmas. This has been adapted from an article that I wrote in the mid-1980s in London. I remember the night, Florida, 1966. It was chilly. It's not uncommon for the temperature to go below freezing in northern Florida. That happened a number of times when I was a boy. And this Christmas Eve, my father had a fire burning in the hearth. Now, I was 7, still believed in Santa. I realized that a fire in the fireplace spelt doom for the jolly man who would be supposedly squeezing down the chimney later that night when we were asleep. But I probably believed in Santa more than I disbelieved. So it took a bit of courage to ask my father, Daddy, is there really a Santa? And he told me the truth. I was disheartened. Doubts began to flood my mind, not just about the existence of Santa, but of the Easter Bunny, another mythical being that, well, don't many kids enjoy. You know, I talked to my little brother. He's 2 years younger than me. I asked him later on in the kitchen. He said he didn't believe in Santa. He thought Santa was our father or maybe our mother. He figured it out 2 years before me. I wanted to believe so badly. But later on, I learned that Santa Claus, or Father Christmas, as he's called here in Britain, or Der Weihnachtsmann, as in Germany, there are many names. Santa Claus comes from Saint Nicholas. You can hear the sound, Saint Nicholas, Santa Claus. It's just a corruption of the phrase. Now, Nicholas was a bishop, a church leader in what is today Turkey, in the 4th century. He was born in the, maybe around 275 AD, and was a remarkable fellow. I've done a talk on Nicholas, and there's a link in the notes that come with this talk if you'd like to learn more about him. Well, Santa Claus's attributes, the things we associate with him, the red suit, I guess the big belly, the reindeer, residents at the North Pole, and elves. This derives, all of it derives from a blend of pagan legends with traditions about the saints and snippets of Christianity and maybe some good modern fun, more recent things like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Good heavens! So is Christmas Christian? Well, when was Jesus born? Was it the 25th of December? Does anyone really know? Well, early Christians were unsure. Cyprian, a leader in northern Africa, thought 28th of March. Clement of Alexandria, Egypt, he guessed the 20th of May. Hippolytus of Rome conjectured the 2nd of June. Others said, we have no idea. So we could say, if these early Christians, and they were writing in the 3rd century, much closer to the time of Christ than we are, if they had to guess the date of his birth, how is it that we know better? But actually, a fairly strong case can be made for 25th of December. Maybe I'll do another talk on that another time, or a guest talk. Maybe the brother who alerted me to the weight of the evidence will do that, and you can listen to him. Not everyone will agree, but I'm quite surprised in my later years as a Christian that I'm coming around to a winter birth for Jesus. What about those shepherds in the fields and those shivering sheep? According to Luke 2, verse 8, the shepherds were living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And what is Israel like in late December? You know, the time of Christmas. Well, it's cold. It's the rainy season. And it is the rainy season. In the Mediterranean climate, especially there in the Eastern Mediterranean, it really doesn't rain at all from maybe sometime around April until October. But rain doesn't really start coming until November. And it's December, January, and maybe a bit of February that are quite cold. How do I know it's the rainy season? Because of Ezra 10 and Song of Songs chapter 2, but also because I've been to Israel many times, and a number of my visits have taken place in the winter. And in fact, my first time ever, I was in Israel in early January, just a few days after Christmas, and there was hail, ice. And yet, it's not uncommon to see sheep in the fields. And living here in England, where it's often cool, and the winters are very chilly, like right now I'm recording this talk in December, and our little bit of snow melted, but across the bay you can see the mountains are all covered with snow. But the sheep are out there. When we lived in Scotland, the sheep are there, rain or shine. They're well endowed by their creator with a certain covering. Wool keeps them very warm. So I used to say, it couldn't be December, it's too cold, the sheep would be indoors. Of course, you would wonder, indoors where? And do they have houses? But actually, sheep can live in the winter in Israel, just as they can in England. Well, what about Roman history? In the year 274, the emperor, his name was Aurelian, designated 25th of December as the birthday of the sun god, the invincible sun, Sol Invictus. And this may have been through the influence of a Persian religion called Mithraism. Mithras, the god they worship, well, very popular among the Roman soldiers, was born on the 25th of December and celebrated for 12 days. But, of course, I wonder, is it possible it goes the other way? Maybe Mithraism imitated an element of Christianity. Why would it have to be that Christians were taking something from paganism and baptizing it, so to speak? I know it could go either way, and certainly many times that is what the church did. It basically took over pagan events and even beliefs, and not all those are to be accepted, but it doesn't mean that that's necessarily what happened. Now, in some circles, worship of the sun became identified with the worship of the sun. So think of the invincible sun, Sol Invictus, and then think of the invincible sun, S-O-N. In Malachi 4, verse 2, we read of the sun of righteousness rising with healing in his wings. And that sun is S-U-N. So the worship of a sun god and the worship of Jesus as the Son of God, even with the different spelling, do seem to be connected. And then in the next century, in 354, Liberius of Rome ordered Christmas to be celebrated. So now it's definitely well entrenched. These celebrations had been popular among the Romans, sure. They had been celebrating the Saturnalia from the 12th to the 24th and the Brumalia on the 25th. They were used to times of merrymaking and exchanging presents and decorating houses with greenery and lights, festal lights, gifts given to children and the poor. So Christmas has some pagan origins, a bit of Christian origins in there, and it's actually quite likely the pagans followed the Christians. That is, the church was already observing Christmas in December, and the Romans adopted that celebration. I'm not totally sure, but I think a good case could be made for that. Ultimately, it doesn't matter. The point is not to know when Jesus was born, it was to know Jesus. What about other parts of the empire, or later on? Think of the European peoples, the Teutons, Teutonic history. As with the Romans, the Teutonic peoples also had their own celebrations of the winter solstice. So the idea is the sun god is dying or dead, and we need to help it on his way and speed the recovery of the world from its dark winter torpor. Now, if you live on the equator, you won't appreciate this because on the equator, your day is always 12 hours long. But in Northern Europe, where we live, the days get quite short in winter, like around 7 hours long. And they stay that way for quite a while before picking up. So there's happiness when it's clear the days are starting to lengthen. And that happens after around the 22nd of December. So there's partying, rejoicing, and thousands of years of Teutonic history make their contribution to the customs of Christmas. And those customs spread along many pathways into Central Europe, Gaul, Britain. And at Yuletide, special cakes were consumed. Yule logs were burnt as an incentive to the waxing sun. And fir trees were adorned with lights in honor of tree spirits. Special greetings and gifts were exchanged. And many went a wassailing And of course, there was the mistletoe, under which one stood and began, only a kiss, mind you, the headlong rush into a night of pagan revelry. And 1 Peter 4:3 comes to mind. Remember, all this is going on even before Christ is born. Shopping sprees. What would Christmas be without the frenzied shopping that characterizes our society and increasingly not just dominates December, but even the month of November? Well, listen to a 4th century Roman writer, Libanius, and he's describing the scene in pre-Christian Rome. Everywhere may be seen well-laden tables. The impulse to spend seizes everyone. He who through the whole year has taken pleasure in saving becomes suddenly extravagant. A stream of presents pours itself out on all sides. So, that holiday shopping, that predates Christianity. Christmas spirit, often sustained by big business to move merchandise, it's nothing new, but rather an ancient and time-honored tradition. Well, let's go a little bit further north and even west a bit. Nordic mythology. The Norse thunder god was Thor, the one we named Thursday after. And Thor flew through the skies in a chariot drawn by two magical goats. And their names were Gnasher and Cracker. Does that sound familiar? And perhaps this piece of mythology moved Robert May to write Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, 1939. It became a popular song in the 40s. Christmas. The modern word Christmas comes from the Old English Christusmesse. In the early Middle Ages, in Catholicism, Mass evolves. Now, what is that? It comes from the Latin Missa, which is the very end of the old Latin liturgy where the priest dismisses the congregation, ite, missa est, literally, go. It is the dismissal. These words of dismissal in time became applied to the entire church service. It's all a mass. It used to make me think, what, were the people ready to go? I mean, you know, it's those closing words. We want to get out of there. Well, Christmas is simply the liturgical celebration of Christ or of his birth in a church service. So Christus Massa becomes Christmas. Santa Claus. There was, as I mentioned, a Turkish bishop. Well, actually, there were no Turks in Turkey at that time. But, okay, we can call him Anatolian, I guess. Of the 3rd and 4th centuries, and he was well known for his deeds of charity and kindness to the poor. And Adam English wrote, "The Saint Who Would Be Santa Claus, The True Life and Trials of Nicholas of Myra." And you might want to read that. In accord with the Catholic custom of promoting various Christians to sainthood, in time, Nicholas became Saint Nicholas. And by way of the Dutch name of this man, Sinterklaas, the Americans corrupted the name to Santa Claus in English. As I mentioned before, I've done a talk on this that you may enjoy. Well, some closing considerations. We've seen that Christmas is almost 100% tradition, mainly non-Christian at that. Yet traditions are condemned in the Bible only if they directly contradict the Word of God. Mark 7, verses 6 to 8, for example. They're not condemned if they're neutral, and they're not condemned if they're not in the Bible. There's a difference between something being extra-biblical, outside the Bible, and being unbiblical. Well, Jesus commanded us to remember his death, yet there's no harm in commemorating his entrance into the world. As one of the few who understands the origins of this holiday, you can now hopefully enjoy the season in a more enlightened manner. So be of good cheer and happy Christmas.